Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, we thank you.
Lord, we bless you tonight, Father.
Lord,
we bless you tonight, Father.
Thank you.
We bless you tonight, Jesus.
Lord, yes. We thank you.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you.
Lord, we thank you tonight, Master.
Lord, we
Father, tonight I ask you, Lord God, if you would anoint every teacher. Lord, that you would anoint their hearts. Let their hearts burn, Father, from on high. God, anoint the hearts of your people to be good, fallow, receptive ground. Lord, guide our footsteps as we run this race, I pray, Master, in Jesus' name. All of God's people said, amen and amen. God bless you as you go to your class. If you are in here tonight, turn with me to the book of 1 John chapter 5. I'm going to share for just a season tonight. January we have declared as prayer and fasting month. And I'm going to share, I don't know how long it'll take from the word. And then we're going to have a season of prayer. And how we're going to pray is I'm going to begin to pray. And if God lays something on your heart to pray for, then I want you to come pray. And then we're going to gather and hit the altars or hit our knees and cry out to God. We're going to do something novel. We're going to pray in church. What a novel idea. 1 John chapter 5. I preach from this text Sunday morning. And I will touch briefly on a couple of those things that I talked about then. But I also want you to turn to the book of Luke chapter 18. And I quoted this passage to you, or a big part of this passage to you on Sunday morning in that word. When I talked about the power of prayer and the spoken word, there is tremendous life-giving power in the words we speak. In fact, sometimes I don't think we really understand just how much power there is in the words we speak. In John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, beginning with verse 14, this is what the Apostle John said and said, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Amen? He said, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will. Remember, what is His will? His Word. His Word is His will. If you have a need and you are crying out to God, you need to go to the Word of God and find a word in the Scripture that pertains to your need. If it's healing, go to 1 Peter 2:24. Go to Isaiah 53:5. Go to Matthew 8:17. Read about the story of the Syrophoenician woman when Jesus said, healing is the children's bread. Find yourself a promise. If you have a need of provision, go to Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Go to Psalm 35:27 when it says, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor thy righteous cause, and let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which taketh pleasure in the prosperity of His servant. Find yourself a word and stand upon that word. If it's a job you need, then go to the Scripture where it talks about God giving man the ability to work and labor in the garden. He said from this time forward, He told Adam, He said, you will earn your living by the sweat of your brow. Go to the book of Proverbs where it talks about, I believe it's Proverbs chapter 6, about the ant, who though they're small, yet they have enough sense to gather up for when there's a need coming. So we must find a Scripture and stand upon that word. Amen? Look with me in Luke chapter 18. The Bible said, and He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. That men ought always, or at all times, at all seasons, to pray and not to faint. That word faint literally means don't give up. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry unto day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them? He said, I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? We need to understand tonight that it is God's purpose and it is God's intention and it is God's will to meet your need. Amen? God's not out to see you do without. God is out to bless and to meet your need. I want us to look at prayer again tonight. Prayer is the heartbeat of the church. Two men were walking along one day and they were having a conversation. And one man said to the other man, he said, I'll give you, you know so much about the Bible and you're always talking about religion and about relationship with God. He said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. He said, I'll give you $10 if you can recite for me the Lord's Prayer. The second man says, no problem. He said, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. The other man pulled out his wallet, pulled out a 10 and handed it to him and said, I never thought you'd know it. I pray to God that that doesn't describe you. That you understand what the Lord's Prayer is. In fact, I sincerely hope that you know more about the Lord's Prayer than those two gentlemen did. Prayer is an important and an essential ingredient in our relationship with God, without which no church and no believer can survive. We probably talk about prayer more than anything else in the Scripture. We probably sing about it. We probably have more books written about prayer than any other subject. But yet we do less praying than any generation that's ever gone before us. It was John Wesley who made a statement, and it's always stuck in my mind. He said, it would seem that God will do nothing for humanity unless someone asks him to. Prayer moves the heart of God. Over these next few weeks, we're going to be talking about prayer and fasting. We're going to focus on both personal prayer, group prayer, and corporate prayer. And I'm going to do my best to try to outline some ways in which you can intercede to God for your needs, some ways that you can intercede to God for your unsaved loved ones and for the strengthening and the direction and the mission of this local body of believers. Prayer is the heartbeat of God. Notice again what John said. 1 John 5:14 and 15. He said, "This is the confidence that we have in God, that if we ask anything in His will, He hears us. And if we know He hears us, then do we have confidence that whatsoever we ask according to His will, He will do." You see, prayer is truly the heartbeat of the church. But yet it's the thing that the church has forgotten about. Prayer is more than a list of requests and a list of supplications that we think are appropriate to present to God. In fact, prayer is drawing near to the eternal God and attuning our hearts to hear from Him. Prayer literally is intimacy with God. As I was thinking about it today, I thought about it in this manner. Prayer is to a believer what the umbilical cord is to a fetus. You see, when the fetus is in the womb of its mother, the only way that fetus receives nourishment and strength and grows and becomes stronger until it's ready to be birthed is through the umbilical cord. That's why you got that little hole in your belly. It's not just because God had us all laid out baking us and when He pushed His finger in and said, "This one's done." Prayer is our umbilical cord that connects us with God. It's the thing that brings us into fellowship and communion with God. It's the thing that brings us to the place where we understand the heart of God. But yet it's the thing that the church does the least. Prayer that is effective with God acknowledges and accesses the help of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit when we pray. Somebody said, "Well, you know, you don't have to be baptized in the Holy Ghost to be saved." No, you don't. But can I tell you, rightfully understood, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is what gives you the ability, the power to pray. As Pentecostals, as full gospel believers, we ought to be the prayingest people in this town. But oftentimes we pray the least because we're convinced we know more than everybody else does. Look with me in Romans chapter 8. Let me show you what Paul said about prayer and the Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 8, verse 24, Paul said, "For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." Listen to verse 26. "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit," notice it's capital S, "but the Spirit," the Holy Spirit, "maketh intercession," it says itself, it should read Himself. "But the Holy Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Do you understand what that's talking about? Does everybody understand what that's talking about? It's talking about praying in other tongues. It's talking about there are times when you don't know what to pray for. You don't know what God's will is. You don't know. You're guessing. But according to the Scripture, the Bible said, the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings and travailings which cannot be uttered. There are times when you can't do anything but groan. You fall on your face and you cry out to God. You see, when the Holy Spirit prays through you, I like to use the illustration, and I've used it before. It's like having a red line. You know, they say in the presidential, in the Oval Office that you always seen on TV, there's supposed to be this red phone. I doubt that it really exists. But there's this red phone that when the red phone rings, you know it's an emergency, and immediately that phone's answered. That's kind of what praying in the Holy Ghost is to heaven. The Bible said when we don't know how to pray, the Spirit Himself prayeth for us with groanings and travailings which cannot be uttered. There are times when we don't know what God's will is, but look back at verse 27. He said, and he that searcheth the hearts, it should be capital H, it's talking about the Holy Spirit. He that searcheth the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints. Here it is, according to the will of God. Amen? What did 1 John 5:14 say? If we ask anything according to what? His will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, then have we confidence in God? So in other words, the Scripture says that if we allow the Holy Spirit to pray through us, he will always pray God's will. Because he knows what we don't know, and he sees what we don't see. You see, when we talk with God, we're doing what we were created to do. Prayer is what you were created to do. You were created to commune with God. You can't know somebody you don't spend time with. Amen. You see, a lot of you are acquainted with one another, but you don't really know each other. You can't really know somebody until you spend quality time with them. Things are not always what they appear to be. Everything that glitters is not gold. You can't know the heart of God if you don't spend time with God. If you desire to know the heart of God and to please Him, you've got to spend quality time with God. Because prayer is the heartbeat of our relationship with God. It's our umbilical cord. It gives us the chance to bear our souls before God and to come before Him and to cry out to Him and to let our requests be made known. But what happens most of the time is prayer becomes all about us instead of about God. One man said, I read the quote today and I don't remember what his name was, but he said, rightfully understood, prayer should be more about listening than it is about speaking. Isn't it amazing? God gave us one mouth and two ears, but we like to use the mouth more than the ears. When it comes to prayer, most of the time we get down on our knees, or we walk, or we lay on our face, or we kneel, or we sit in the chair, or however we do it, and we give God all our requests, and as soon as we're finished, we say amen, we get up and leave. Have you ever talked to somebody that wouldn't listen? I mean, they just go on and on, they yakety yak yak yak, yakety yak yak yak. And then the moment you want to say something, they say, I got to go. And you're left standing there. It's rude, is it not? It's completely rude. That's how we treat God. We treat God like, well, you know, God, I don't really care what you think or what you say. I've told you what I wanted. I've given you my 10-point prayer list and what I need and what I want you to do, so now God do it. Doesn't work that way. Amen. Amen. Let me share with you tonight what prayer isn't, number one. What prayer isn't. Number one, prayer is not reporting to your supervisor. Prayer is not reporting to your supervisor. It's not the time you go before God and you give Him a report on everything you've been doing, because I got news for you. He already knows what you've been doing. He even knows that stuff you don't want to report to Him. It's not a time to go report to a supervisor. You remember Jesus told the story about the Pharisee who stood before God and he pounded his chest and he said, "Oh God, you know me. I give alms to the poor. I do all these good works. I do all these great things." He's giving a report to the supervisor. The other man just pounds his chest and said, "Oh God, be merciful unto me, a sinner." And Jesus said, that man was justified before God. The other wasn't. Prayer's not a time to brag to God about everything you've done. He sees and knows everything you've already done and the things you don't want Him to know. But it's a time to ask Him for His good and perfect will for our lives. Secondly, and this is good, prayer is not an emergency insurance policy. You know what an emergency insurance policy is? It's a policy we only use in emergency occasions. Can I tell you, most people don't pray unless it's an emergency. After 25 years of ministry and being saved, going on 30 years, I can tell you I've been around church folks for a long time. And most people don't pray except when they come to church and somebody calls them to the altar and pray. "Well, you know, I'm too busy." God understands. He doesn't understand. He wonders why we're not seeking Him. You see, prayer is useful for more than just emergencies. Prayer's for daily use. It protects you when the premiums are kept up. You see, if you got an insurance policy, as long as you pay the premiums, it's in effect. When you don't pay the premiums, the policy lapses. That's kind of how our relationship is with God. If you don't ever pray when the emergency arises, you may be in trouble. Amen, preacher. Amen. Number three, prayer is not a spiritual 911 number. Prayer is not a spiritual 911 number. Prayer is needed when we're desperate. It's needed when we're stranded. It's needed when we're out of gas in life. But that's not what prayer is really about. Isaiah 1:19, I quoted it earlier tonight. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Prayer is about willingness and obedience. It's about relationship with God. Amen? Hold on. Number four. Prayer is more than spiritual gymnastics. Prayer is more than spiritual gymnastics. It's daily, but it's more than devotional calisthenics. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we pray out of a sense of duty rather than a sense of relationship. We think, you know, as long as I stay exercised up in prayer, God's going to be there. It's more than spiritual gymnastics. Prayer is the reinforcement of a daily relationship with God. If there's one thing I want us to become, and we're not there, it's a house of prayer. Number five, prayer is more than a power switch that enables us to get what we want from God. Prayer is more than a power switch that enables us to get what we want from God. We think that God has blessings on demand. Everything we need, we can get quickly. I don't know about y'all, but I don't like to wait. I went to the post office last week. I needed to get stamps. I had to mail out some bills. I had to mail out reports. I had to mail out several things, and I get there. And I go, I always buy a roll at a time, 100 stamps at a time, so I don't have to go very often. And I go up, walk up to the post office, walk through the door, and the line is completely out the door. And I said, "There ain't no way." But you see, they have stamps on demand over here in this machine. So I go over here and pull out my American Express card. I slap it in there. Push a couple of buttons and voila, I had stamps on demand. I turned around and walked out of that post office with a sense of smugness. I had my stamps. That's how we treat God a lot of times in prayer. like he's our great cosmic Santa Claus. That just we just snap our fingers and God rushes to meet the need. That's not what prayer is about. Number six, not only is prayer not spiritual gymnastics, prayer is more than a religious exercise. Sometimes we misuse prayer. We pray in every service at the appropriate time. We know that when service opens up, somebody's going to come up and read a scripture and we're going to pray. And we're going to have service. We're going to move on to the next thing. But most of the time, we're not really praying. We just bow our heads, you know, and, you know, mumble a few words, and we're waiting for the keyboard to hit the first note, and then we raise our head up. Am I talking to anybody? We need to bow our hearts before God and not mumble just a few occasional words. We don't pray because we have to or we are expected to. We pray because we know that's how we get close to God. I don't remember what number I'm on. I think I'm on number seven. Number seven. You're going to like this one. Prayer is more than a pious routine. Prayer is more than a pious routine. The habit of praying is commendable. We ought to all have a prayer life. But wearing your prayer life on your sleeve is a misuse of the privilege God has given us. What are you talking about? Let me show you the scripture. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Jesus said, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore when thou doest thine alms," it's talking about giving, "do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Drop down to verse 5 of that same chapter, Matthew 6. "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you've shut your door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret shall reward you openly." You know what it's talking about? Some people like to be seen and heard. They're always the person that prays the loudest. They're always the one that wants everybody to know they're praying. Amen, preacher. Let me give you those verses out of the Message. Anybody ever read the Message? Eugene Peterson, it's a paraphrase of the Bible. He said, "Be especially careful when you're trying to be good so that you don't make a performance out of it. It might be good theater, but the God who made you won't be applauding." He said, "You've seen them in action, I'm sure, play actors, I call them, treating prayer meeting and street corner alike as a stage, acting compassionate as long as somebody's watching and playing to the crowds. When you come before God, don't turn that into a theatrical production either. All these people making a regular show out of their prayers, hoping for stardom. Do you think God sits in a box seat?" That's good. Understand that prayer should be more than a pious routine. It should be a lifestyle. Amen? Now, I've told you what prayer isn't. Let me tell you real quickly a few things that prayer is, because I want us to have time to pray. Number one, prayer is praise. Prayer is praise. The Bible said in Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5, "Enter into his gates," how? "With thanksgiving. And into his courts," with what? "With praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." The writer of Hebrews said it this way, Hebrews 13, 15, "By him," Jesus Christ, "by him, therefore, let us offer unto God the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name." In other words, we need to understand that praise is an offering to God. The first thing when we do when we go to prayer shouldn't be, God, I need, God, I want, God, I'm expecting. The first thing we ought to do is we ought to enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. We ought to bless His name and thank Him for what He's already done and for His goodness. That verse tells us that praise is a sacrifice. He said, offer unto God the sacrifice of praise. It ought to be a sacrifice. In other words, you praise God whether you feel like it or whether you don't. I told somebody, I think it was today. It was today. I went and I was down at the carpet place because we're having carpet put in the old parsonage. And I was there and I was dealing with the man, and he told me he used to be a Presbyterian minister. And we were talking, and you know, he was talking about how he had left the ministry years ago and he got fed up with people and fed up with all the garbage. And I told him, I said, you know what? We got to worship God and praise God when we feel like it and when we don't. I said, if I went by my feelings, I'd have quit a long time ago. But I said, we walk by faith, not by sight, not by what we feel, but by what we know. And we know what we know by reading His Word. Prayer is a sacrifice that pleases God. Let me give you a great example of entering into God's courts with praise. 1 Timothy 1:17. Listen to what Paul says. He said, to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, to whom be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. That's entering in with the praise. He's in essence saying, God, there's nobody like You. Nobody like You. You are able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that I could ever ask or think. I worship and bless Your name. Amen? Number two, the second thing that prayer is that prayer is confession. People confess to psychiatrists. They confess to doctors. They confess to mentors. They confess to family members. They confess to pastors. They confess to friends. But to get forgiveness, you need to learn to confess to God. We were traveling. We were on the way, if I remember right, I think we were on the way to Waco for the graveside Saturday. After we'd had the funeral here and we'd left and we were driving, that 3.5 hour drive, and I was driving up the road and I had a message from a lady. She called. I didn't know her. From another area code. And said, so-and-so used to be my pastor, and, you know, he moved to Ohio, and I called him, and he gave me your name. And I said, oh, thank you, brother so-and-so. He said, my husband and I need marriage counseling, and he told us you were the person we needed to see. And I said, well, I got told my wife, I'm driving. I said, you call and tell her I don't do marriage counseling. I'll give advice to people, but I'm not a marriage counselor. I'd give her the name of the marriage counselor we refer people to. I said, I got enough to keep up with and enough to try to do, trying to take care of the own flock without trying to take care of somebody else's. Amen. See, we need to confess to God, not to everybody else. Confession humbles us. Can I tell you, if we stay in the proper relationship with God, we wouldn't have a lot of the problems we have. It humbles us. It shows us who we are and who God is. When we come to God and we confess to Him, we open our life. He knows what you did anyway. There's no need in trying to hide it. Number two, confession allows God to change us. When we confess to God, it allows God to change us. Thirdly, confession allows God's grace to be activated in our lives. Because the Bible said if we confess our faults, what? John said He's faithful and just to forgive us our faults and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God desires to cleanse us. But He won't do it until we confess. The fourth thing confession does is confession frees us. Once you confess to God, you have freedom. The purpose of guilt is to drive you to Christ. Once you are there to Christ, you are free from the power of guilt. You need to get up without condemnation. You've confessed it to God. You've prayed. You've given it to the Lord. Now get up and walk away from it. Number three, Prayer is petition. What is a petition? The Bible says in Ephesians 6 and 18 that we are to pray at all times. It literally reads, with all manners of prayers, with prayers and supplications, intercessions, and giving of thanks, let our requests be made known how? Unto God. Praying with all prayer and supplication for all saints, and watching thereunto with all perseverance. What's he saying? We need to learn that when you make your petitions, you are petitioning God for the needs of others, not just your own. The petition is when we go to God and make our request. Lord, you know what's going on. You know what it is. That brings me to the fourth thing that prayer is. Prayer is intercession. Prayer is intercession. Intercession links us up in partnership with God. One of the great scriptures in the Old Testament is found when the Bible said that the Lord one day said he sought for a man that would make up the hedge and that would stand in the gap, and he found none. Do you know what he's talking about? He's talking about intercession. He's talking about somebody. What standing in the gap means, he's talking about somebody who will stand with one hand extended to God and one hand extended to man. That's what intercession is. You are interceding for God to meet somebody else's need. Can I tell you, I believe that's, and I had never thought of this before. Thank you, Lord. I had never thought of this before. I believe that's what the Scripture is talking about. When it says, to whom you will forgive sin, their sin will be forgiven. I'd never thought of that before. You know what that's saying? If you will intercede for somebody else, you can stand in the gap to help bring deliverance in their life. To help bring wholeness in their life. Intercession links us together to bring about healing to the church. Why do we pray? We pray because we care. Number five, prayer should be meditation. And I'm not talking about sitting in a circle with your legs crossed and your hands up saying, We ought to meditate on the Word. We ought to meditate on the goodness of God. David was crying out to God saying, Lord, I want to build you a house. I want to build for you a place. And listen to what the Lord said to David. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 18 and 19. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord. He's meditating on God. Can I tell you, I don't know about, maybe I'm speaking for me. Maybe I'm not speaking for you, but the hardest thing for me to do is sit before God and keep my mouth shut. You have that problem too, Ernest? Anybody else have that problem? I always think I'm supposed to say something. Sometimes you just need to just meditate on the Lord and sit quietly. And we don't do that. The Bible said David went in and sat before the Lord and he said, who am I, O sovereign Lord, and what is my family that you've brought me this far? And as if this were not enough, you've also spoken about the future of the house of your servant. Is this your usual way of dealing with man, O sovereign Lord? There are times when you just need to meditate and get before the Lord and be quiet. One of the things I used to stress at the old church, and I have it here, and I need to train our worship team, is there are times when you just need to be quiet. It's a lost art in the church learning to be quiet and wait on God. We think if there's a lull, one of two things has got to happen. Somebody's got to give a message in tongues, or we got to bang on something or say something. And sometimes we just need to be quiet. And if we'll get quiet and wait on God, sometimes that was when God will just sovereignly begin to move. Because God wants us to realize it's not all about us. It's about Him. Now let me give you real quickly what true prayer requires. Good golly, I'm running out of time. What true prayer requires. Prayer is the heartbeat of our relationship with God. I've said that over and over again. If you didn't get anything else out of tonight, remember, prayer is the heartbeat of our relationship with God. It gives us a chance to bear our soul before God. Talking to God is not very different from talking to people. He wants us to have a dialogue, not a monologue. But what is required for prayer? Number one, a humble heart. A humble heart. 2 Chronicles 7:14, he said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves. Number one. God wants us to have humility in the sight of God. We need to come before Him not like we're somebody, but we need to come before Him in humility, recognizing the fact that He's God and we're not. To me, one of the most humbling experiences in my life is when I come to God in prayer, because I understand that He knows me better than I know me. And I understand that He knows my weaknesses, He knows my faults, He knows everything there is to know about me. And He knows everything there is to know about you. He said, let them humble themselves, pray. Wholeheartedness is the second thing. God wants people who will seek Him wholehearted. I stressed that Sunday morning. God likes to play hide and seek. He wants us to seek Him. He said in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13, He said, you'll seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart, wholeheartedness. In other words, He said, when you want me more than you want anything else, that's when you'll find me. Not you're trying to come in and get a quick fix, but He said, if you really want to find me and if you'll search for me with all your heart, He said, then you will find me. In another place, He said, if you search for me and seek me with all your heart, I will be found of you, saith the Lord. God wants us to seek Him with everything that's in us. Amen? The third thing that prayer requires is it requires faith. We need to believe that when we come to God, He hears us. We need to believe that when we come to God, He answers us. Whether we see it right now, whether we see it next week, next month, or next year, God answers. Our problem is sometimes God says no and we don't want to hear it. Were you ever that way with your kids? You tell them no and they just keep coming back? Anybody? I told you you couldn't do it, but I want to. I told you no, but I want to. I said no, why not? Because I said so. You ever answer that way? Because I said so. They just keep coming back. And sometimes you get frustrated and say, go ahead, because you know that when they do, they're going to make a mess. Can I tell you, I believe there's sometimes you can go to God over and over and over again till God will finally say, okay, and He knows you're going to get in a mess, but you wasn't going to shut up anyway. I really believe that. That's the permissive will of God. Sometimes God will allow some things to happen permissively because you just insisted. He said, okay. Amen. He did it with Israel. I can prove it to you. Give us a king, Lord. No, you don't want a king. Give us a king, Lord. You don't want a king. Give us a king, Lord. Oh, no, you don't want a king. Samuel gets all bent out of shape and he goes before the Lord and he's all tore up and God says, Samuel, what are you crying for? They didn't reject you. They rejected me. He said, they want a king? I'll give them a king. But tell them he's going to take their sons. He's going to take the best of everything and this is what's going to happen. And it did. How many of you know Israel would have been better off if they hadn't asked for a king? Sometimes we'd be better off if we didn't insist on God giving us some things we don't need. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face. There it is, seek my face. Wholeheartedness. Turn from their wicked ways. The fourth thing that's needed for prayer is righteousness. We have got to turn from our sins. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. For the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man does what? Availeth much. That's what prayer is all about. This little book I'm teaching you from prayer, The Heartbeat of the Church. That's what prayer is all about. It's the heartbeat of the church. I want you to stand to your feet with me if you would. I told you that we were going to have prayer meeting on Tuesday nights like we always do and on Wednesday nights. And what we're going to do, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. First, corporately. I'm going to begin to pray, and I'm asking you to agree together in prayer with me. You see, sometimes the Bible talks about the power of the prayer of agreement. And please understand what I'm saying to you tonight, okay? Because I believe what I'm telling you is the truth. We as Pentecostals, sometimes we pray and everybody has to pray. There's nothing wrong with that. God can hear more than one person at a time. But it's hard to pray a prayer of agreement when you don't know what you're agreeing with. I believe there are certain times and seasons when one person needs to pray and the others need to join their faith in agreement. Because that's how you pray a prayer of agreement. And we're going to pray that way tonight. And then we're going to have a season of prayer around this building. If you have to go, I understand. I'm not going to officially dismiss this service. This is a month of prayer and fasting. I want to see God move. I'm determined to see God move. God is already touching my body. I told Brother Duncan, God's been touching me. And last night, by the time I got home, my arm hurt so bad it felt like it was going to fall off again. And I got upset. My wife kept asking me, what's wrong? Did something happen tonight? I said, no, nothing's wrong. I'm just tired. Which I was tired, but I was really upset. I thought, God, this makes me angry. I went to bed, went to sleep, got up this morning. It was completely gone. I feel like sometimes God says, see, I let you make a fool out of yourself just so I could show you I'm God and you're not. Amen? Would you join your faith together with me? Father God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, your word says that if any two would agree on earth as touching anything that they ask, that it should be done for them of our Father which is in heaven. Lord God, I join my faith together tonight, Lord God, with these believers. Father, I pray and I intercede. Your word says, I exhort therefore first of all that supplications, prayers, and intercessions be made for all men, for kings and for those that are in authority, that we might lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Father, I pray, Lord God, for the leadership of this nation. Lord, as we prepare this week, Father, for the inauguration of a new president, God, I pray tonight, Lord God, for Barack Obama. Father, I pray, God, that you would place your hand upon his life. I pray, first of all, Lord, for the protection of God. I pray that you would protect him and keep him safe. I pray, Lord God, that you would place your hand upon his heart. And that, Lord God, as your word says in Proverbs 21:1, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water, and he turns it whithersoever he will. God, I'm asking you to turn his heart toward the kingdom of God. Lord, turn his heart, Lord, toward unborn babies. Turn his heart, Lord God, toward the oppressed. Turn his heart, Lord God, to those who are godly and righteous, Lord God. Turn his heart away from sin and wickedness, Lord. Turn his heart away from, Lord God, the liberal policies, Father, and let his heart be turned toward you, that this nation would be led by a godly man. Father, I pray, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, for the leader of this state. I pray, Master, for Governor Rick Perry. God, I pray that you would guide his footsteps. Lord, I pray that these would be men of God, Father, men of integrity, men of righteousness. God, we intercede on their behalf tonight, Lord. We pray for your hedge of protection around our incoming president, around our outgoing president, around our governor. Lord God, I pray for the leadership, Father God, in the Senate, in the House of Representatives, Lord God, in the judicial system. Father, I pray that those that retire, those that pass, Lord God, on the Supreme Court would be replaced by godly men or godly women, Father. We just join our faith together tonight in a prayer of agreement, and we intercede, Lord God, on behalf of our nation. Lord, let America be a godly nation. Let us be one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. God, I pray that you would right the wrongs of this nation, Lord God, that you would help, Father God, people to be healed of prejudice, Father, that, Lord God, there would be healing among the races, that there would be healing among people. Lord, let this local church, Father, let us be an instrument, God, to help bring healing and racial reconciliation, Lord God, that we're not a white church, we're not a black church, we're not a Hispanic church, but, Lord, let us be the church of the living God that's every color of the rainbow. Lord God, I pray, Father, that you build your church, Master. For, Father, your word declares that the gates of hell itself will not prevail against your church. God, I pray for the leadership, Father God, of this particular church, this particular denomination. I pray, God, for our general overseer, Lord God. I pray for our executive committee, God, that you would guide their steps, that they would be men of integrity, that they would be men of righteousness, Lord God, that they would not be led by political expediency, that they would not be led, Lord God, by that which is expedient, that, Lord God, which is necessary for political advancement. Lord God, I pray, Father God, that you would so convict their hearts and bring them to repentance, Lord God, that there would be a heart of brokenness that would lead this church. God, I pray for the leadership of this state. I intercede for my state bishop tonight, God, for the great heavy burden that he bears, Lord. God, I pray tonight, Father, that you would comfort him, encourage him, strengthen him. Give him the wisdom, Lord God, to make the right decisions and to be led by your Holy Spirit, Father. Oh, God, guide this church, Master. I pray, Lord God, for this local body of believers. Father, I pray, God, that you would touch me, Lord God, as the shepherd over this flock. That, Lord God, I would be a man of righteousness, a man of integrity, a man of character. Lord God, help me, Father God, to keep my heart right before you. I confess to you tonight, God, that I'm a man in need of the touch of God. I am a sinner in need of a Savior, Lord God, and I need your touch in my life, God. Every day that I live, your mercies are new, and I need them every day, Master. I pray, Lord God, for the leadership of this church. I pray for Mike and Vicky, Lord God. I pray for Diane. I pray, Lord God, for Pat, for Gary. I pray, Lord God, for every worship leader, every worship team member, every teacher, Lord God. Father, let us be a people of prayer, Master. Let us be a people, Lord God, that if we begin to slip away from you and where we need to be, that our hearts would be convicted, Lord God, that we would be brought to a place of repentance, that this would truly be a house of prayer. God, this would be a house, Lord God, where the Spirit and the presence of God abide. Lord, I intercede for these precious people, Lord. I pray, God, that you would open doors for advancement. I pray, Lord God, that you would open doors for those that need jobs, Master. Lord God, that you would make a way, Father, where there seems to be no way, Lord. For those that are unemployed, those, Lord God, that are facing unemployment. God, I just ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, to give favor. Lord, I stand upon your promises, Lord. You said, Father God, that you would give us favor among men. And Lord, I thank you tonight. I thank you tonight, Father, for giving favor to your people, Lord Jesus. I thank you for giving favor to your people, Lord Jesus. God, let us be a people of praise. Let us be a people of praise, Lord God. Father, it burdens my heart so many times when we come into this place. Lord God, oftentimes on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, I feel like, God, we go through the motions and we do that which is expected. God, make us a people of praise. Make us a people of worship, Lord God, that every time we come through these doors, Master, that the heart of God will so burn within us, Lord, until, Father God, we will be compelled to worship, Master, that it will not be about the music, it'll not be about the talent, it'll not be about the singing, but, God, it'll be about you, Master. It'll be about giving glory to you. It'll be about giving honor to you. It'll be about giving praise to you, Master. Help us, oh God, to be sensitive to your leadership, Father, in every single thing we do. In every single thing we do. Glory to God. Pastor Mike, I want you to come up here and pray, if you will. Glory to God. Glory to God. Give us your wisdom, Master. Give us your guidance, Father.